Amen.
Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. My name is Logelani, your host, and I'm joined by my husband, Alex, who is preaching about overthinking. We're continuing our series in Matthew. We're in chapter 8 and looking at verses 28 through 34. Go ahead and read along with me if you have your Bible. We're in the ESV version. If not, go ahead and just listen. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of pigs, many pigs, was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down to the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region.
Amen. You guys didn't hear it, but Luke farted so loud behind me. But anyway, we're talking about overthinking, and this week my son Amos came up to me and said, "Dad, why does your phone not go black?" And I was like, "What is he talking about?" And I just told him, I looked at him, I said, "I don't know." And in the moment, I was busy cooking. I was thinking about this episode. I was thinking about getting the kids down for bed. And so as I was overthinking, I decided to be selfish and not to answer him. But later that night, when I was laying in bed, I was thinking about that question. I was like, "What is he talking about?" And I realized that, like, the new iPhone, when you lay it face up, it still shows you the time. It's a new feature that they made with the new iOS devices. The iPad that I let him use for school and drawing and stuff doesn't do that. And so he was wondering why this iOS Apple device, when you lock it, it goes black, but the other one doesn't. And so I woke up the next day with a little bit of just repentance in mind. And I was like, you know what? This is why it does that. It's a new feature. So you don't have to pick up your phone. You can just look over at it on the table and see the time. And you don't have to be distracted by picking it up and checking other notifications and stuff. And then he was like, "Oh, okay." And so through that ordeal, I realized that overthinking is selfish. And if we're going to stop overthinking, we have to stop thinking about ourselves. Mm. To stop overthinking, we have to think of ourselves less and think of others more. But that's our problem. We are always the first person that we think of every time we start to overthink. And the reason why you're overthinking is because you think of yourself too much. Jesus didn't live that way. Jesus was never caught overthinking. Let's look at this verse 28 and 29. It says, "And when he came to the other side, the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men meet him, coming out of the tomb, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cry out, 'What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?'" What the demons ask Jesus is, "What business do we have together?" That is the direct language translation of what it says here in English. What Jesus would have heard is what people in the Old Testament, when it came to wars or any kind of conflict or any kind of hostility, that's what they said to each other. "What business do we have?" And it was always used to start a fight. And that's what these disciples are witnessing when the demons in these men, legions of demons that are inside these two men, when they approach Jesus, they come with hostility. They come with conflict. Yes, of course, they know that there's a time coming, which they mention in verse 29, where God is going to destroy us before that time. And so, or that's what the demons were thinking, but they're still bringing hostility. They're still bringing conflict. Paul tells us that they wouldn't have crucified, the powers that be wouldn't have crucified Jesus if they wouldn't have tried so hard to kill him if they knew that it was through death that God was going to save us. And so the devil's tricky. He's foolish and prideful, and he's very wise, very crafty. And they think maybe this is an opportunity to start something with Jesus, to start some kind of conflict. And I believe that they thought that they won when he died on the cross. So they're crafty. But it just shows us that you could be minding your own business, just like Jesus was, and all of a sudden conflict comes. Jesus just spent the night on a boat, not sleeping because they woke him up, remember last episode? And so he's obviously tired. And he's tired, and now he's touched down on the shore to do ministry, and all of a sudden here comes conflict. This is when you and I would start to overthink. But Jesus never, never overthunk. He never did. When we're tired, when we're caught off guard, is when our overthinking starts. Mm-hmm. What is this person thinking about me? Should I be thinking that about them? How do I get out of this situation? What do I do next in this conversation? What do I say next? Mm-hmm. What did they mean by that? What did that look mean? We start to overthink and overanalyze everything. Why? We're thinking about ourselves too much, mm-hmm. and we're caught off guard. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're spiritually tired. Maybe we're mentally tired. Maybe we're physically tired. But this is when overthinking finds its place in our heart. So what do we have to do? I was at the pool that we pay a membership to for rainy days. When we can't go to the beach to let out energy, we go for walks or we'll go to the pool. And one day at the pool, we had invited a lot of friends to come meet us there. And as we're pulling up with a car full of people, this one bystander thought that we were driving too fast in the parking lot. And we weren't. And the people with us told us that we weren't. But anyway, they proceeded to like mouth words at us and make gestures at us in the parking lot. I got offended and I got upset and I got in my flesh and I was ready to like fight one of these guys. He kind of got in my face and was puffing his chest out and making comments towards me. And thank God Loki Lani was there and just pulled me away and we walked away. It never got too serious where she had to like actually like grab me and pull me in the other direction. She just told me like, just let it go. And I just walked away. But it was a moment where I wanted to prove myself. I was overthinking. How dare he talk to me like this? Does he not know who I am? These people around, I got to protect my friends, protect, you know, I need to be a man, like all this lies, whatever. I'm overthinking. And I was letting the overthinking flow instead of telling the darkness to go. And that's what Jesus does. Look at verse 30. Now, a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs. And behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. They say, if you are going to cast us out, send us to the pigs. Jesus says, go. He's not overthinking at all in this situation. Jesus doesn't have time to overthink because he wants to help these demon-possessed guys. He wants to get these demons out and help these guys. He wants to help the nearby town who, it says in verse 28, people couldn't even pass by the tombs where these possessed men lived. They were haunted by these guys. Jesus is not overthinking because he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about helping the people in front of him. And that right there shows us how he's able to give one word answer. I mean, talk about the opposite of overthinking. We, when we're confused, when we're overthinking, our words are many. Jesus's words are very few because he's not overthinking. To stop overthinking, we have to think of ourselves less and think of others more. What Jesus does right here, instead of overthinking, is he allows conflict to arise and he says, how can I love others and how can I love God in this moment? That's what he's doing by just saying go. You might be thinking, how is he loving God by allowing the demons to kill the pigs? Well, God prioritizes humans over pigs. Animals come first. I get this question a lot. Are there going to be animals in heaven? There'll be animals in the new world. Yes. But your dog didn't go to heaven when it died. God prioritizes humans over animals because humans have souls. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love animals. Don't forget Noah's Ark. He loves animals. He loves everything that he created. But there's a priority. We, us humans, are his most prized creation. And so he's glorifying God because of two things. Number one, he's showing he is not trying to take matters into his own hands. He's definitely mad at these demons because he's seeing how they've ruined these guys' lives and the surrounding town. But he doesn't get so angry. He doesn't start overthinking to the point where like he lashes out an all-out war against the demonic. He just says, go. And he gives them a foreshadowing of what's coming for them, where they'll be thrown into the abyss. The pigs run off into the sea. It's a foreshadowing of what Revelation tells us is going to happen to the demons and Satan. And the disciples get to see that foreshadowing. That foreshadowing gives glory to God. How? It gives glory to God in how we know he's going to end the battle with darkness. But also at the same time, it gives glory to God because Jesus doesn't get sidetracked in his mission. He still is headed, like his face set like flint towards the cross instead of choosing another battle. So he just says, go. How is he loving others? We already said that he's loving others by healing these guys from this possession and freeing this town from this kind of haunting. If you were going to stop your overthinking dead in its tracks, you have to start asking yourself, when you feel that overthinking rising up within you, you have to stop yourself and say, how can I love others? And how can I love God in this situation? When I was at the pool, I wasn't thinking that. But in that moment, if I would have said, okay, how can I love God and love this person that wants to fight me, love the people around me by giving them an example of what manlyhood really looks like, how can I do that right now? That would have stopped the overthinking. So I want to finish these verses, and I want you to see the key here, which is how we get the power to stop overthinking. Verse 33. The herdsmen fled, going into the city. They told everything, especially what happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw it, they begged him to leave their region. The herdsmen got it. The people didn't. The herdsmen come back telling him, this is what happened, especially what happened to the demon-possessed men. Meaning the herdsmen were excited and they saw the miracle. They saw what Jesus did. They saw the exchange, the great exchange. The town people, they come back, they're not stoked because they lost their bacon. And all they're thinking about is their future, their finances, and all this kind of stuff. They're overthinking. Even though Jesus just did a miracle to help them, they're overthinking. The herdsmen got it. And we must be like the herdsmen and not the town people. The herdsmen saw the great exchange. That the miracle here is that here is the Son of God coming and freeing us from the powers of darkness. That's what they saw, and that's what they were amazed by. If we're going to stop overthinking, we have to see what they saw. They didn't even think twice. The herdsmen, they're not crying on the side of the mountain. They're not distraught about losing their herd. Isn't that crazy? The townspeople is worried about the economy. It's not even necessarily their particular bacon that they lost into the ocean, into the lake. We know it's a Sea of Galilee, but it's really just a lake. They're not worried about their pigs, but they are worried about the economy. We don't want this Jesus guy coming into our town and ruining our economy even more. Mm-hmm. But the people who should be upset are not upset. They're preaching. They're telling people, look at what this guy did. The guys who lost their herd, they're not overthinking. All they're thinking about is how do I love God and how do I love others? I love God by preaching his good news, by giving witness, giving testimony to what I've seen, mm-hmm. giving glory to him. And I love others by telling them the good things that God has done. That's what the herdsmen are doing. And they need to see what we need to see. They saw what we need to see. And that is that Jesus was overwhelmed, but he never was overthinking. He saw, the herdsmen saw Jesus on the shore, not overthinking, but they definitely would have witnessed him being overwhelmed. They would have saw a tired Jesus. They would have saw an exhausted Jesus, but they would have saw a caring Jesus and a not overthinking Jesus. Jesus was overwhelmed so we could stop overthinking. On the cross, Jesus is, that's what's happening. He's being crushed. He's being overwhelmed so we can stop overthinking. And in the resurrection, it tells us that there's nothing to overthink about. When we walk the way that Jesus walked, a life of not overthinking, but a life of thinking about the whole law summed up in one sentence, love God, love others. When we live that way, there's nothing to overthink about. The resurrection means that when you live that way, you will rise out of your situation. The second coming means that we have to stop overthinking and start understanding our mission. When you have to understand that the herdsmen, they had definitely grown up hearing about the Hebrew God, hearing about the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. They would have definitely heard that. Now, here they are on the beach witnessing it. And what do? They stop overthinking. They don't think about how they just lost all their bacon, lost their pigs. They don't overthink that. What do? They understand their mission. Jesus's coming means we have to stop overthinking and start understanding our mission. And that is to go and to tell. There's nothing else to think about. You've witnessed the power of God, just like these herdsmen have witnessed it. Now it's time to go and tell it. In whatever way, shape, and form that is. And you tell it with your lifestyle, the decisions that you make, how you choose to treat the people around you, how you show your love for God in your life. That's what it looks like. He's coming again, so there's no time to overthink. We got to start understanding our mission. The more we look into him and how he lived, specifically stuff like overthinking, how he lived completely countercultural to how we live and the people around us and even the spiritual leaders in our life, as we look at his life, then our eyes start to open up like the herdsmen did. And all of a sudden they know, okay, I don't need to worry about my pigs. I need to be doing this. Look at the joy the herdsmen have. It says that they went and told them everything that happened, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed man. Especially. And saying that that particular part, them being healed, was the really exciting part. That means they had seen something spiritually. Mm-hmm. And they were free from their finances, free from their future, free from trying to fill their lives with things that won't satisfy them. God had broken that. They had been healed too. With the demon-possessed man. Jesus was overwhelmed to the point of death. That's what he claimed in the garden. Mark 14:36, he's sweating blood out of his forehead, overwhelmed to the point of death so that we could stop overthinking. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your salvation, how it frees us to live like your son and to live for the glory of you. And we're so thankful, God, that we don't have to overthink, but we do have to understand what you've called us to. Help us to keep looking at you and let it change and renew our hearts. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. Our question today is, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I will go first, as always. I am thinking about not the far future, I guess you'd say, but kind of like the near future. I am definitely an overthinker. And I've been feeling super overwhelmed this week. Our schedule's a little bit busier than normal this week. And it's because I've been feeling overwhelmed because I've been overthinking the near future. So instead of just focusing on the task at hand, I'm thinking about tomorrow and what's happening, or even later that day and what's happening. And in my overthinking, it's almost like I become useless because in my overthinking, I become anxious, that which turns into worry, and that like can like paralyze me, and I can't get the things done that I need to get done in that moment. And it's because I'm so worried about the future. And so when I'm feeling overwhelmed, it's not necessarily that someone is overwhelming me, or my children are overwhelming me, or anything else. It's because I am too inwardly focused. And when I'm inwardly focused, I cannot be affected in the present. And so that's what I'm thinking about. And I just think about the times when, you know, the Lord has revealed something to me, and instead of trusting in what he is saying, I will start overthinking it, and then I miss the opportunity to act on whatever it is he's saying. So yeah, I don't know how to explain that, but more than in that way, but like, I just think that overthinking can cause us to miss the like little moments that God is trying to speak to us in the here and now. And that can really like lead you to a dark place spiritually. So yeah, that's a little bit of my feedback.
Yeah, I think that's so good. You miss, when you're looking so inwardly, you miss an opportunity to serve someone else and to give God glory. That's what would have happened, you know, if Jesus was so tired and overthinking and thinking about his own self, he would have missed an opportunity to help the people closest to him in that moment, and missed that lesson that he gave to the disciples. The disciples are always picking up gems and nuggets and watching Jesus's life, much like the people in our life, just how we handle conflict, how we respond. Our kids, people closest to us are watching that. And the disciples are watching Jesus, simple one word answer, not overthinking, and handle his business and keep it moving. It's super cool. And so thank you for sharing that, being vulnerable and transparent. Very helpful. We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Rate and review the podcast. Like this video if you're an overthinker, but you are turning from an overthinker to an understander. That's what we want. And we pray that you are blessed by this. And if you want to support us, amenpodcast.com. House Church is going great. They're going to hear this message tonight if you're listening on Sunday. Same message they're going to get tonight. So pray that it goes well. And your support to this ministry also keeps House Church going. And so thank you for that. It's going good. We got a, you know, it's a big group. They come every Sunday in our garage and we worship, and we sit under the word of God, and we confess and we talk, and it's good. So we love you. Go out and be the church. Wait, you're supposed to say that. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Until next time, go out and be the church.
I've been saying it on the other podcast, on the Alex podcast. So that's why I took your part. Luke, you want to try? Go again.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, go out and be the church.
Amen.